Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Now it's time to talk Braves, Falcons, and college football with a Deep South college football legend. It's the Buck Belue Show, exclusively on The Fan.
And a happy Monday to you. Not the prettiest day in the world, but hey, we'll run with it today. Time for the Buck Belue Show here live from the Battery Atlanta on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. Click and actually watch the show. Get that Fan app, and it's driven by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online. For your next car, visit beavertoyotaofcumming.com. And the 10 o'clock hour on The Fan is brought to you by the Haug Barron Law Group, your champions of personal injury law. If you need to win your personal injury case, go to championshiplaw.com. DT in the house, ready to get it started, ready to go to work. You were clubbing last night, though, but you didn't have your shades on.
That's a real, yeah, I just thought about that. It was a little too overcast. You know, you want to avoid the shades on a day like yesterday. A little overcast, rainy.
Like
yeah.
Today.
Yeah. Is Podrick's a club?
Podrick's was shaking last night, man. It was popping.
It was popping. More of a bar for me. But yeah, we had a good time out there at Patrick's yesterday.
Yeah, we appreciate them very much. What do you say we go ahead and get to work?
Bucks Big Take.
Stetson. What were you thinking, man? Intoxicated, banging on doors in an old East Dallas neighborhood at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, that is early in the morning time. I'm guessing he didn't go to sleep. Now, the report state Bennett was in Dallas training for the combine, which makes me wonder, what exactly is that training all about? That seems like a little bit different training than most of the NFL guys are trying to do.
I don't know if you heard me earlier, Buck. Brian Finneran here from the locker room.
Different kind of training.
The
right?
Scene, I was trying to set the stage because I didn't do what he did, but I was at a workout facility in Orlando getting ready for combine that I didn't get invited to and some other things, getting ready for draft and workouts. And you work out Monday through Friday or Saturday and double days, Saturday maybe one a day, and then you have like a night or two to kind of just relax and get away from that.
Relax.
Apparently he got away from it and relaxed a little bit too much.
I've heard the term blow off steam.
Yeah, may have done it. May have been part of that as well. So,
all right, well, hang around. Let me finish. I want to get your comment on this. So staying out all night, knocking back, I'm assuming Pappy Van Winkle bourbon, or this could have been one of those straight tequila nights. Couple of thoughts. Then why in the world is Stetson out partying alone? Where's his buddy? Where's his buddy that's going to look after him so he doesn't do any of this stuff?
So who's his buddy at this workout facility would be my question. You're really room with
guys
you don't know.
I guess he was asleep. And why didn't this buddy give him the key to the condo and the right address? Where at the end of the partying, he could go to the correct condo. Wouldn't have to bang on any doors.
It's not a good look. It's not the end of the world, but he's put himself with some serious red flags with the way he's acted and the things he's done the last month.
All right, good job this
morning. Thank you very much.
Obviously, like Finn says, this is not a good look. You skip out on the Senior Bowl and then get arrested for public intoxication. This is going to hurt his draft stock, as did the report that is circling around that he knocked heads with offensive coordinator Todd Monken, who is busy interviewing around the NFL right now. The personnel guys were already getting ready to rip Stetson for a lack of size, stature. And now this? The message here is Stetson, lay off the liquor. Now his street cred may be going up. plus the his credibility with the Raiders might be going up too. But other than that, Stetson's hurting himself out there with this situation. DT, what'd you think about this one, man? I mean, this is a little bit crazy. I mean, imagine that you wake up at like 6 a.m. and, you know, if you got the video doorbell, and I think a lot of people do, we do also, I would have picked up my phone, I would have looked at the phone that was tripped, and I would say, oh, my God, Stetson Bennett's at the front door.
Mailman's working on a Sunday morning. But yeah, Buck, I was disappointed to see you, to hear about that, looking up yesterday morning.
Was it the
morning.
Pappy Van Winkle?
It might have done it.
Or was it a straight tequila night?
Could have been the dark liquor. Could have been the clear, the light liquor. Who knows? But yeah.
Not a good look.
Now, yeah, it's certainly not a good look, but...
Is blowing off steam a good enough excuse?
I that's not for me to decide, I guess.
Oh, for you, though.
Yeah. I mean, you it's never good to get arrested, just to be...
Yeah, I think.
To be wandering around like that. But, I mean... Hell, I can't say much about my college experiences. So, I mean, I rarely was out drinking at 6 o'clock in the morning. I will say that.
Well, no, he was knocking on doors at 6 a.m.
I guess he stopped drinking around, what, 4 o'clock?
Well, these places closed, around 4 a.m. maybe?
That was the thing I saw in Dallas. There's only a handful of places. Let's just say certain types of bars where they're...
The clubbing?
Yeah, certain, we'll say adult places are still open that late. So he may have been... At one of those, who knows what he was doing? But
we should
emphasize again though, you know, luckily there were, you know, he wasn't driving. There was no, you know, he didn't mouth off at the cops.
So there were some positives.
No, I mean, I'm just trying to make
some.
You know,
I did get hooked in social media. I saw the somebody tweeted out the video of Baker Mayfield getting arrested.
That one got me for about 2 minutes.
And that was in Dallas too, right?
I believe so. And right. Right
and
when I saw that.
The police tackle him. And boy, I'm still wondering how he didn't get a concussion.
Like bang his head on that cement.
Hitting that concrete sidewalk.
Whew.
Or that wall where they tackled him.
So, yes.
I was thinking, my goodness, this seems a little early for the video from the police car to be released.
Later, right? Yeah.
And then I said, oh, man, this is Baker Mayfield. And that's another thing. You don't want your name being mentioned along those lines.
Yeah, the Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield comparison.
Mayfield was able to work past it, so we'll see. Hopefully Stetson's going to get his act together here, and, you know, it's going to be okay moving forward. What do you say? Hey, some big news out of the Falcons over the weekend.
The Dirty Birds are in our blood, and guys like Buck know what's happening in the huddle. Let's dive into Falcons football on The Fan.
So the Falcons have hired a new defensive coordinator, came down on Friday afternoon, Ryan Nielsen, who was a defensive line coach and co-coordinator with the New Orleans Saints and had been for an extended period of time. Knew Terry Fontenot knew him. I'm giving this hire a C+. Zero. Experience calling the defense at any level. I mean, he was the Ole Miss defensive line coach. He was NC State, the Saints, Northern Iowa, all these places he's been to, never once has called the defense.
Tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
He was the co-coordinator with the Saints, and I believe that they threw him a bone when LSU offered him the defensive coordinator job in 21. So that is my criticism for the Falcons hire, and that's why my grade, I'll go with a C+. C+ on Nielsen getting hired. Because he's never called defenses, and that's a big deal, folks. Now, I find it interesting, too, that you're seeing some of these media accounts and, you know, a lot of them are pointing, okay, this is the blueprint to the Falcons' pass rush. Because in New Orleans, as the defensive line coach, Nielsen had gotten a lot of credit for all of those sacks that the Saints were racking up. And do I need to remind you that we hadn't been getting any sacks here in Atlanta? So he's been getting credit for that among the media types. The Saints pass rush, one of the NFL's best, with Nielsen as the defensive line coach. But call me crazy, but is that because of Nielsen? Or is that because of the scheme that they were running on defense and the top-level personnel they had on the defensive line? I'm going to think it's the latter. And number three, Nielsen's been down in New Orleans. They've been running a 4-3. So now we're going to transition back from the 3-4 to the 4-3. Didn't we draft all this personnel, D'Angelo Malone, EKBK, or whatever his name is? I mean, they were brought in under this Dean Pease scheme of running the 3-4. So now what are we going to transition to the 4-3? And what does that do to these guys we just drafted? Obviously, they passed on Steve Wilks, who's on the open market. Now, he would have cost more to bring in here. He's a proven defensive coordinator. Now, we went with a cheaper option and a guy that's never called the defenses. And now we're going to transition back to the 4-3. C-plus at best in my book.
What about this guy, Jerry Gray, they're bringing over from supposedly from the Packers? Have you heard anything about
him? Well, I love him. I mean, he's been around the block before. He's played. He's coached. Good experience. He's been with good football teams. He's got a good reputation. I like that part of the deal, but I'm just talking about Nielsen here.
True.
I mean, I can't get past the fact he's never called defense during the game. Never once has called defensive signals. And we're transitioning, what, back to the 4-3? What happened to the continuity? C-plus, period. There's my Falcons angle today. Yeah, we got a lot going on. Todd Monken, we're going to jump on him, talk about him, too, as he's interviewing with the Bucks reportedly today. Interviewed with the Ravens last week. So a lot to get to as we move on in this 1 hour, the fastest 1 hour show in sports talk radio here, the Buck Belue Show. We got that coming up next and some more. Talk about these NFL championship games. It's the Buck Belue Show, live from the Battery Atlanta on the Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Show here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7. Appreciate you hanging out with me Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. Get that Fan mobile app. Listen anywhere, anytime. Time's running out to win that golf trip we've got going on, our 30th anniversary. And we are kicking it off with a great Hilton Head Island golf getaway, hooking you and three of your buddies up with a six-night, seven-course golf vacation. Courtesy of us and America's Golf Island, Hilton Head Island. Going to play Harbor Town, Palmetto Dunes, Oyster Reef, Old South, Hilton Head National, Bear Creek, and Golden Bear. Plus, you get $250 gift card for each golfer in your group. Plus, you'll drive down in style. Our friends at Infinity of Gwinnett will provide the grand prize winner with a QX80. Plenty of room for your foursome, your golf clubs. You drive on down to Hilton Head. You better enter now. Time is limited. Go to thefan.com/30 before February 3rd. That's the end of the week. You better get in there now, brother, if you want to win. Let's talk a little NFL playoffs. Obviously a busy day yesterday. And we got one game, got a blowout in the other. Complete domination in Philadelphia. The Eagles took down the 49ers 31-7. Complete and utter domination. Wasn't worth watching. Once Brock Purdy went down injured. And that was on the sixth snap of the game. First possession for the 49ers and their hopes of getting to the Super Bowl went right down the drain.
Did you ever take a shot like that, Buck, where you were coming forward and the guy just comes right into the shoulder, elbow? That's just such an easy way to get hurt, it looks like.
Well, once when I was handing it to Herschel, that happened.
You about rip your arm out of your socket?
And I spit on it, and I got back in there and handed it off again.
Attaboy.
No, I can't say I was ever hit right there. You know, I was hitting the hand. I was a little preoccupied with injuring the thumb because, hey, if you injure
your
thumb,
on a helmet or something like that, yeah.
You're not throwing the football, man. You can hand it off, and that's essentially what Purdy did.
Now, he gutted it out, but obviously he just
I'm worried about Purdy moving forward here.
This might require some surgery
or
something like that.
Well, it's an ulnar collateral injury, the UCL ligament. You're talking about in baseball, it's a full year. So he could possibly miss the entire 2023 season.
Ooh, that would be a shame.
For Brock Purdy. That would be horrible.
Just when it seemed like maybe they finally had kind of figured it out for the quarterback. But
yeah, this game wasn't even really worth watching once Purdy went down.
Well, they kept it at least somewhat interesting.
What?
A little
31
bit.
31-7?
I was just, I thought it was going to get more out of hand in the first half, and they at least... The Niners fought.
Even
we'll
the Eagles
that.
Sort of shut it down.
Oh, yeah. They took. We got Minshew in there, took out Miles Sanders, everything. So.
Yeah, let's protect ourselves. We're going to win this one. Going to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs and Bengals, man, that was awesome. I mean, we got one great game in the AFC. That was awesome watching that one. Bengals down early. Get their act together. Burrow leads them back. It looks like they've got all the momentum. And then it seemed like to me, tell me if you felt the same way, DT, but it seemed like all the calls went Kansas City's way down the stretch. Every single call went to the Chiefs. And it made me start thinking, okay, the NFL and Fox with the Super Bowl game, they wanted a Philadelphia-Kansas City matchup because they make more money.
They're in cahoots, Buck.
Man, I tell you, it seemed like every call was going the Chiefs' way. What about the clock controversy?
That was very weird. I even noticed that the clock stopped after that play. It seemed like it, but in reality, I guess it never started before that play. And then, yeah, that was absolutely ridiculous. Basically just giving Patrick Mahomes more chances.
I think they hit that shot downfield to T. Higgins and offensive holding. They can call it on every play. Yeah, the couple of pass interference calls on the Bengals went against them. Intentional grounding. I could have sworn there was a receiver.
Yeah, the one he threw out of bounds.
4 yards away.
Samaje Perine was right there. Yeah, I thought that was funny, too. So, yeah.
And the big unnecessary roughing.
Then that was a penalty. So, sorry. I mean, it was. And, Buck, I was rooting for the Bengals. I was rooting for overtime. We got robbed out of overtime.
Yeah.
And not because of a bad call, because of a dumb decision. But that guy would just let Patrick Mahomes run out of bounds, and we're going to overtime. Instead, you push him, and you lose the game.
Well, look, you can call me crazy. Not you, DT.
You are crazy, Buck. We know that.
Not you, DT, but the folks out there listening. But I'm at a point in my life. Well, I'll believe anything.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if there was if the fix
it was rigged.
If it was rigged with Fox and the NFL to get the two big name teams in there, Kansas City and Philadelphia, by golly, I believe it. I mean, in this day and time, with all this going on, I believe it.
You've been on the internet too much,
yeah,
Buck.
Twitter sure believes it.
No, those were penalties. So that pass interference that
have you seen the Pfizer videos? Yeah, I believe it. So there's some thoughts there on the playoff games. Got the two best teams, though. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, you definitely know, looking forward to this game now. It's going to be.
I mean, you got the Chiefs. I don't know why the you know, all these sites, they don't count the playoff wins. Like, they'll say, okay, the Chiefs are 14-3. I've got them 16-3. I mean, it seems like to me, the playoff games count more than the regular season games. So I'm counting them, man. Chiefs are 16-3. You know what the Eagles are? 16-3. I'm counting them, man.
Been the two best teams in the league all year long.
Right, here we go. I mean, we got the two best teams in the Super Bowl. So let's go, man. It's going to be awesome. Have some more on the NFL coming up here in just a moment. Right now, though, man, I'm mixing in some college football.
Tasty. It's time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
Yeah, I want to talk about Todd Monk and a lot of talk going on with Georgia offensive coordinator. Interviewed with the Ravens last week and reportedly interviewing with the Bucs today. There's a dead period in recruiting with signing day on Wednesday, so that frees up Monken to get off the recruiting trail, go down to Tampa, and do an interview with the Bucs. As far as the interview with the Ravens go, my first thought is what's the fit? Is it a good fit? Is it a bad fit? Is it a mediocre fit? What's the fit? Well, I look at Monken fitting in with the Ravens, and I think this. There's so much uncertainty at quarterback. I mean, Lamar Jackson, is he staying or going? Are they going to franchise tag Lamar Jackson? Are they going to trade Lamar Jackson? Is he staying or going? And if he stays, does Monken want to be running this run-first scheme? I mean, is that what he really wants to do? And if Lamar Jackson exits, who's Monken's quarterback? Is it, I don't know, Derek Carr? Is it Anthony Richardson? I see where the Ravens, their draft slot is number 23. Look, Levis is off the board by then. So Anthony Richardson, some have him as the fourth-rated quarterback. Not sure he wants to go with Anthony Richardson as his quarterback. I'm just saying. So I don't think right now, because of the uncertainty at quarterback, it's not a good fit for Todd Monken in Baltimore. So what about the fit with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Well, talk about uncertainty. My goodness. So you got TB12. Apparently, Brady's moving on. So who's the quarterback in Tampa that he would be working with? Is it Kyle Trask? Is it a free agent quarterback they're going to be bringing in? Are they going to draft a quarterback? And then with Todd Bowles, uncertainty with him too. I mean, he's still the coach right now, but is that just one more year in 24? Are they going to bring in a new coach? Are they going to tell Monken today in private that, look, if Bowles doesn't work out this season, we're going to fire his butt and we're going to make you the head coach if you come down here and be our offensive coordinator? And I'm not believing that if they're telling me that either. So I think there's so much uncertainty in Tampa, it doesn't make it a good fit either. He's got a contract at Georgia right now with two more years left on it, paying him more than $2 million a year. I will tell you this, and that is, I spoke with a Georgia quarterback on Saturday, face-to-face, and I threw it out there. I said, if Monken leaves and goes to the NFL, what are you thinking? And the Georgia quarterback told me he was sold on Mike Bobo being promoted and stepping in as the offensive coordinator, that he would believe he's still in a really good spot if Monken left and Bobo took over. That's the Georgia quarterback looking me in the eye, telling me that. And I believe it, because I believe the same thing. I think the world of Todd Monken, and I give him an A-plus for the job he's done at Georgia. But if the time's up and it's time for him to go to the NFL, Kirby Smart, the Georgia quarterbacks, the Georgia football program, they're in a great spot with Mike Bobo already on the staff. And there's a little college football for you today. Todd Monken. It's nice to be wanted. Yes, sirree. I'm just concerned about the two fits, Baltimore and Tampa. So much uncertainty. I'm not sure Todd Monken's going to be real comfortable in either one of those situations.
He certainly has been a good fit here in Athens, and he seems to like living in Athens. I should say there in Athens. He seems to enjoy that. He hinted that he might want to retire there, so we'll see how that fit.
Yeah, and there was 404-231-1680, the number you want to get in here. We got a lot on the table. Stetson intoxicated. We got Nielsen taking over as the Falcons defensive coordinator. NFC and AFC championship games yesterday, and Todd Monken interviewing out there. So four really good topics. You want to jump in here? 404-231-1680, the phone number. Be glad to have you come on. What were you saying, DT?
Sorry, I lost my train of thought, Buck. I was ready for the Bulldog roundtable.
Oh, were you? Oh, you want to do that early while we line up these phone calls?
I think that's probably a good idea.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10, Buck. Get in there. Touchdown.
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and by attorney Ken Nugent.
And that's going to be the ballgame. Georgia will win this ballgame.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Table on this Monday morning. I've been researching and investigating, trying to figure out. There's been so much coming and going as far as the personnel at the University of Georgia, as far as the football players go. It is tough to keep up with it, man. I mean, you got people transferring out, you got people transferring in, you've already had one signing period. Some of those guys are already on campus. You're having guys leaving early, going to the NFL. You got this signing period that wraps up on Wednesday with now the second signing period. What Kirby must have a member of the staff or probably several people on the staff that are monitoring who's coming and going all the time. Trying to figure out, are we at 85 scholarships or not? Oh, we're at 83 today or 87. We got to balance this thing out. We got to be at 85. I mean, how do you keep track of all this stuff? It is tough. Man, I've got my own little depth chart here that I've done for those that are streaming at 680thefan.com. Here's mine. And it's got X's and circles, just trying to keep up with what's going on. And as a former quarterback, man, I am always focused on the offensive line. And why wouldn't you be if you're a smart guy? I mean, the last thing you want to do is win the quarterback job and have a lousy offensive line. So trying to figure out what this offensive line is going to look like in 2023. The Bulldogs are going to try to do that three-peat thing. All right, Broderick Jones looks like a first-round pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Heck of a pass protector, does a great job in pass protection. And that's what you want in the National Football League. You want a guy that can pass protect. So he's gone. All right, who replaces him? That is a big, big question on this Bulldog offensive line. In fact, it's the biggest question. Is Amarius Mims, who I've got him penciled in to step in at right tackle, replacing Warren McClendon, who's been there for 3 years, moving on to the NFL. Got Mims at right tackle right now. Left tackle could be Mims. I mean, he could slide over there and take over that left tackle spot. Tell you what I've heard, though, is there's been some positive reports on a freshman from this past year from California, Ernest Green, is a guy. Now, he was dinged up, and the media and the people probably lost track of what he was all about. But people on the inside saying Ernest Green is a guy to keep an eye on and a guy that could slide in right at left tackle and roll with it, just like Broderick Jones did. Highly thought of. 4- or 5-star player coming out of California would be a guy that they are looking at possibly emerging as the starter at left offensive tackle. Now, let's say that doesn't work out. He's not ready. And he shows them that during spring football practice. Hey, Ernest Green's close. He's not ready to be in our left tackle. What do they do then? Well, as I understand it, they would take Xavier Truss, who started, I believe, most every game at left offensive guard, and they will slide him out to left tackle. And you would have Truss at left tackle and Mims at right tackle. So who plays left guard? Well, from what I understand, people in the know I spoke to this weekend told me that the former heavyweight wrestling champ out of West Forsyth, Dylan Fairchild, is a guy to keep an eye on, stepping in and emerging as a starter at the left offensive guard spot. And as I think about left offensive guard, I think about Devin Willock, and thoughts and prayers continue to go out to his family for the loss that they're trying to deal with right now. But Fairchild won the heavyweight state wrestling champ a couple of years ago, went undefeated. And he's had a little bit of time to get comfortable in the scheme, get a little bigger, focus on football. Dylan Fairchild is the guy to keep an eye on.
300-pound state wrestling champion sounds like an offensive guard to me.
Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it? You got Cedric Van Pran, who will be the top center in college football in the upcoming season at center. Coming back one more time.
And just how valuable is that? Because you might end up with a question mark at one of these guard spots and to have.
Well, I tell you what, when I was a young quarterback at Georgia, going into my sophomore year, our center was a guy named Ray Donaldson. And Ray Donaldson went on to play, I believe, 16 to 18 years in the National Football League. And I have never felt so comfortable behind a center in all my life than playing behind Ray Donaldson.
Like a warm blanket for a quarterback, man. And those guys next to him on the offensive line.
Yeah, Van Pran, he's like one of the leaders on the team. He's one of the team captains. He's a guy that's going to be, for all this first-time starter quarterback, is going to be a guy that's going to be calling the protection schemes, setting up the blocking schemes. It's invaluable, especially for an inexperienced quarterback, to have a guy at center that you can rely on. And even goes as far as, you got so much on your mind as a quarterback, you call the play in the huddle, coming up to the line of scrimmage, you're trying to decipher what the defense is about to do. Okay, what coverage are they in? Are they man? Are they zone? If they're in zone, what kind of zone is it? Who's coming? Who's dropping? I mean, you got all these things running through your mind. And then you go, oh, my God, what did I call the snap count on? Is it on one? Is it on two? You got to hit the center on the butt and say, hey, man, is it on one or two? It is really important for a young quarterback, a quarterback that has not been a starter before, to have a center that they can count on. Van Pran will be the best in college football. You got Tate Ratledge at right guard, returning starter, best mullet in college football. No worries there. And then you got Amarius Mims out there at right tackle as it sets up right now. So I don't know about Michigan winning that Joe Moore Award again this year. They've won it back-to-back years. What's up with that? Do they have Michigan men on that committee voting that Michigan has the top offensive line in college football?
I think Georgia definitely had a gripe, really, both of these last two seasons.
There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And Georgia should be right back in the mix in the upcoming season. They will have, I don't know about winning the Joe Moore Award, but they'll have one of the top offensive lines in college football in 2023. I'm convinced of it. They've recruited very well.
Yeah, not many programs are boosting this kind of depth on the offensive line.
I mean, you got these guys that, like Fairchild is a good example. We're going to bring you in. We're going to beef you up. We're going to let you get comfortable in the scheme. And then down the road, you're going to win one of these starting spots. They stockpile talent since Kirby's been the head coach. Recruiting on the offensive line. It's been amazing.
These guys know if they do stick around and stay within the system, if you end up starting on the offensive line at a major college football or a major SEC program like Georgia, you got a real good shot of playing at the next level.
Now, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Carson Beck, Brock Vandegrift, Gunnar Stockton. Is it a transfer that may be coming in the second transfer period? I mean, you don't know with Kirby.
I'll say yes, Buck. It will be one of those.
And Beck,
he has to be the favorite, right, Buck?
Well, yeah, he's the favorite, and he's the best passer of the group. I mean, he's prototypical NFL quarterback as far as the stature goes. We're talking 6'3", 6'4", in cleats, 215, 220 pounds, can throw it with velo. He's got some touch. I think he's got some mobility. People are discounting whether he can move around. I've seen him move around. He's worked overtime on that. I've been really impressed with what I've seen out of Carson Beck here over the last 12 months. And he's got to be the favorite going into winning the job. Vandergrift has had to work on some things, and he's worked really hard with his game, tightening up his release. It was a little extended, took a little too long to get rid of the football when he came out of high school. I think he's tightened that up. Got a little smarter with the reps as far as not trying to fit the ball into tight spaces, because when you do that, well, you're going to have more turnovers. He's learned to check it down quickly. I've been impressed with him and the progress he's made. I've always been a big fan of Gunnar Stockton. Tough.
I think a lot of us are, yeah, Buck.
I mean, I love the story coming out of there that he was going to play C.J. Stroud for the scout team as Georgia got ready into their preparations to play Ohio State.
Reminds me of Stetson Bennett being Baker Mayfield back in the day.
Stockton's tough. So this will be a really good battle. This is going to be awesome when spring football gets started. This will be the topic in this part of the Metro Atlanta, in the state of Georgia. Who's going to be QB1 at Georgia? We'll be talking about that at length in the coming months. But they've got three quality guys right now that'll be battling it out. It's going to be awesome. Looking forward to that. All right, coming back on the other side, man, we're going to dive back into some NFL football as we do a top five. I did not bring the shades on, but I guarantee you this week we're going to have a quarterback club you can count on. You're listening to the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Got the Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Get a new week started. I wonder what the rest of the week will hold. What's going to happen? 2 weeks to get ready for the Super Bowl. We're going to draw it out a little bit. Which is a good thing because, look, after the Super Bowl, football season's over. Over! Isn't that scary? You're going to have to dive into college basketball at that point. All right, I'm ready for the top five today, DT.
The best in college football and the NFL.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Top 5, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, Buck.
All right.
NFL playoff edition of the Top 5.
Yes, sir.
So on, as we conclude the week, Buck, who was your player of the week? The player of the week for the Buck Belue Show.
Wow. Chris Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Defensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. A man on a mission.
Yeah, talk about an outstanding individual effort right there.
Yeah, they said he was motivated by coming up a little short a year ago, not able to get some pressure on Joe Burrow. last year, but I guarantee you one thing. He was getting pressure on Joe Burrow yesterday. Chris Jones playing that defensive tackle spot, but they were moving him all across that defensive line. That poor right tackle for Cincinnati had to block him on the edge a little bit. He's wreaking havoc on double teams.
I was just about to say, yes,
lining up
double
inside.
Teams.
Yeah. Four tackles, two sacks, three tackles for loss, hit Joe Burrow five times in the game yesterday.
Is that good, Buck?
And they had to target him coming in. You know, they set the protection. They talked all week about their plan on Chris Jones. He destroyed him. Yeah, my player of the week, Chris Jones, defensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's a good call right there, Buck.
Who's yours?
Oh, wow.
Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, honestly, I mean, that's such an easy one to say. But, yeah, I mean, what an effort,
man. I just
man.
Try to go away from the quarterback as
yeah,
much as possible.
Yeah, it's easy to say because he gets too much credit and obviously too much blame.
It's too to go with the quarterback.
I mean, pretty gutsy performance, Buck. I don't think anybody, at least I didn't expect him to be able to play that well that quickly off a pretty serious ankle injury.
So. Dude's from Mississippi State, too.
Here you go. All right, Buck. Moving on to... On the other side, you went with Jones from the Chiefs for the 49ers. The quarterback situation, Buck. How do you handle that? With what is now your third string quarterback goes down. You go to your fourth string quarterback. He goes down. You essentially have no quarterbacks at a certain point, Buck. How do you handle that?
Well, what was I telling you during the game yesterday when this happened?
That they were screwed.
Well, yeah,
pretty much.
You know, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought about the. And we hear it here in Atlanta all the time because Rich McKay is on the or heads up the NFL Competition Committee. I mean, it sounds really important, and it is. And I think they totally dropped the ball. And I'm not trying to sit here as one of these know-it-all sports talk radio heads. I'm sorry if I'm coming off as that today, but. Look, we're required to offer up an opinion, and here's my opinion, that the NFL Competition Committee, headed up by Rich McKay, made a huge mistake. When they expanded the rosters, they took away the third emergency quarterback from being available, and it showed up big in this game yesterday.
Yeah, once your backup goes down, you're essentially
quarterbackless. I think that was a terrible decision. By the NFL Competition Committee. I mean, they could easily, even expanding the roster a couple of players, they could easily say, but we're going to keep the emergency quarterback thing in play because if we're in a playoff game and we've got a shot at the Super Bowl on the line and you get your first and your second team quarterback get injured?
Yeah, you're talking about just the integrity of the product. I mean, all of us lost out on a good game potentially because of that.
Dude, they got Christian McCaffrey throwing the ball.
I was surprised we didn't see Debo and Christian throwing it a little bit more. Honestly, we were talking about during the game. I was ready for just a single wing offense, right? I mean,
basically,
nothing's working.
The game's over, and the game was over yesterday with Josh Johnson. Look, if I were the Eagles, I know you're excited about going to the Super Bowl, but, I mean, let's not celebrate too much. You beat a team playing a fourth-team quarterback, and I think this is all on the competition committee. You got to fix this, brother, because that game was over on the first possession of the game for the 49ers.
Yeah, that's
when
a good
Purdy
call,
went down hurt.
All right, Buck, well, we're at Super Bowl 57, I think. That's right. All set. For 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks from now. Give us a couple Super Bowl nuggets, Buck. What you got? I'm sure you've already done a little research on this matchup.
Well, I see where that gambling line has been volatile. When the line opened up, Vegas had KC minus one. And then during the course of the night, it went to a pick 'em. Then it went to Philly minus one. Then it went to Philly minus two. And then it went to Philly minus two and a half.
You know somebody with a gambling issue? 1-800-GAMBLER.
1-800-GAMBLER. So that line's at 2.5 this morning. So there's some people jumping on, man, quickly. Changing that line up. I think, too, as a football fan, just as a general football fan, I'm pleased because we've got the two best teams in the National Football League playing in the Super Bowl. There's no doubt about it. Both teams 16-3. Best records in football this year. So I'm pleased about that. As far as the 2 week wait goes, it's going to help Patrick Mahomes, I would believe. By the way, I was really surprised at how he moved around. Only with a week in between injuring or having the high ankle sprain and a week to get ready for the Bengals yesterday, I was pretty amazed at how well he was able to move around. Now, it showed up a few times during the game. But I think this two-week wait for the Super Bowl is going to help Kansas City getting Patrick Mahomes in a better place injury-wise.
Yes.
And then I think Fox and the NFL got the desired matchups, as I was saying earlier. All those calls go in the Chiefs' way late in the game. Pretty obvious that the NFL, Fox, who gets the Super Bowl this year, wanted Philly and KC going at it.
Shock jock.
They didn't want Cincinnati in there.
All right, so the NFL's
one man's opinion.
Let's move on to the in the NFC. Cowboys came up short last week. What do you think about the Cowboys firing OC Kellen Moore, Buck? What do you think?
Well,
you got a hot take for us? Come on. Bring it, Buck.
Well, I think under Jerry Jones is the wild, wild west there in Big D. And here we go again. I mean, only the Cowboys, right? So you're going to fire Kellen Moore. Now, was he the problem? Because the best I can tell, three top 10 offenses over the previous four seasons in the National Football League. Now, to me, that's doing a really good job. And now you're going to fire him? What, because Dak had a terrible year? It's his fault, huh? And here's the kicker. Not only are you going to fire the guy that was running an offense that was top 10 three of the last 4 years, you're now going to let that knucklehead McCarthy call the plays? Only the Cowboys. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Talk about ignorant. Here it is right here.
We'll call that the top five.
Five on 680 The Fan, Atlanta's sports station.
I thought we had one more.
Yeah, Buck. We gotta get out of here soon, buddy.
Well, no, we call it the top five.
All right. Well, then fifth. What is your take? We talked about this a little bit at Patrick's yesterday, Buck. The joggers on the golfers, Buck.
Who, Sam Ryder.
Yeah, I mean that's the cool thing right now, Buck. So we're expecting to see you. You're gonna break those out for one of the majors this year. Maybe the Chili Dip Open, the 680 Classic. What do you think?
Maybe.
We're going to see you in the capris.
Share those ankles off.
Wouldn't it be fun? I mean, we'd laugh a little bit.
Who plays? All these guys playing and with no socks, it's, or the short
that's my
socks.
Beef.
That's so,
my beef.
I wouldn't.
That would bother me.
Yeah, it would bother me very much as well. I'd rather play barefoot like you talk about than play with short socks.
Or the crew socks.
Don't get me started, Buck.
Listen. Yeah, previously, I wore the white golf pants out to one of the 680
it's
events.
Good,
we spoke
look,
about it prior and... You know, we had some laughs. I'm all for having a few laughs.
Yes, these were white pants. These were slacks, golf pants, not joggers.
Now, I don't think it's a good look, the joggers. Anyway, there you go. That's that. Hey, want to give a shout-out to Patrick's there in Vinings. Great job with the NFC-AFC throwdown last night. Had a lot of fun interacting with the 680 The Fan listeners. Talked to a lot of you guys. We appreciate you listening to the station. And I got a book app coming up Thursday this week at McCrae's East Cobb, Thursday, 6 to 8. That is February 2nd. Hope to see you out there. We continue to pedal inside the hedges. That's going to do it for the Buck Ballou Show on this Monday. Have a great rest of the day, everybody.
Thank you, Buck.
Where's Nernie?
Okay, thanks a lot, Buck.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.